Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Inside Lion Athletics. All of a sudden, it's October. Second week of it, too, Coach. Yeah. What do you think about that? Man. Joe Morales joins us to start, head coach of the Lion women's volleyball team.
It's flying, that's for sure. It's fine. It's a fast season.
Y'all were flying, but didn't have to pay for the ticket when you got out of Corpus Christi, Coach. That had to be the greatest thing, man, last week. Defending conference champs, yeah, and you went down and beat them on their own island.
Yeah, it was remarkable. We went in there. We had a game plan. We stuck to it. And, I mean, their team is good. They're a good team. They're a good, fast team. They're a well-coached team. I mean, we played really well. We played, you know, I'm going to give the credit. We're going to take the credit on this one because I think we played, the stats show that. Like, you know, I think I got a text from Javi saying, you know, in the last three sets, you only had 3 hitting errors. I'm like, wow.
That's crazy. That's, you know, amazing. I saw, and this was what you taught me last week about, you know, the hit kill percentage.
Yeah.
And there, you had them 3s, you had 250s, you had some 4s. Yeah. Didn't have those the next game around, but holy cow.
Yeah, that was a game.
They weren't missing.
I told the team, we played as perfect of a game that we could have played. You know, I mean, the serving area, I knew we were going to miss a lot of serving. We were serving tough, but we played as perfect of a game as we could play. And I think, I mean, the team, it was just an unbelievable. And we felt like in the second, third, and even the fourth set that we always had the momentum. Mm-hmm. Like, it never left from us. And so it was really good. I was stoked about, you know, and the podcast before that, I was sitting with you last week. I said, hey, it'd be nice just to go in.
Get one of these two.
Yeah. And we did that. And yeah. So you know, of course, I'm a little greedy sometimes. I want the second win. But we did that. And, you know, I think we're going to be on target, you know.
Talk a little bit about the team. I mean, were there any indications, pregame, warm-ups? I mean, hey, we're looking kind of with it today.
They were just very focused on the scout. I think we spent a lot of time on Corpus Scout. I'm going to say something here. I've told some people here. I've told some coaches. I've played Corpus in the past, and they do the thing that they do, and they do it really well. Mm-hmm. And so I had to go back, you know, go to the mattresses, right, the Godfather, right? I had to go back to the past, and we played them when I was at McNeese.
Okay.
And I went back, and we stuck to that game plan. The game plan that I had at McNeese back then in 2022, we did the same one. And it wasn't that much different. And at that point, when I was at McNeese, we beat Corpus there.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was with Sasha, that was Sasha's win over Corpus, and kind of used the same format, and it worked. And, you know, of course, it was a fight through and through, but yeah, it was good. But I think the kids were just really honing in on the scouting. They were really honing in on the players and mm-hmm. how, like, they, it's like, it's almost like you drew it up, and it's doing, you're doing, they're doing it exactly the way you drew it up, and they're seeing it the way you showed them, you know. And so I don't know, it was fun. It was a fun game to coach, you know. We were very relaxed. It was a fun environment.
We've talked about the difference between a speed game versus a long game or a tall game, however. What is the speed game something that we're better equipped to handle? Or?
Well, you got to be prepared for it. If you go in there blind, like, I mean, Corpus is so fast. What I mean by fast is by the time the setter has a ball and sets it to the outside hitter, it is so fast on a stopwatch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're timing that, it's click, click, mm-hmm. you know, because it's so fast, it's so low. So blocking schemes can change on that if you're not prepared to deal with it, because you can't double block one and go over there and try to, you know, the ball's already hit, it's gone. Like, you're kind of fighting the battle of who's going to hit the ball, because if it's a fast ball, they're hitting it by the time you even take a look. And so that speed can, it, you have to be prepared for it. You can't go in there blind. If you're going blind, then you're going to get toast a little bit. I mean, that's what video is for. That's what film is for. Where UTRGV is a little bit higher, you know, a little bit more equipped, so you have time to get to the block and make a move and get up and whatnot. So speed can hurt you a little bit if you're not very disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the biggest thing. And, you know, all year long, we've been talking about how disciplined we want to be. And, you know, we watched that game on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And Steven, the commentator, was talking about how, like, you know, I mean, I think this was a quote coming from Coach Green, the head coach at Corpus, where he said, you know, they run a very disciplined defense, and you have to account for that. And that's what we try to do. And so, you know, for another coach to see that and, you know, it'd be noticed, and that's the kind of identity we're kind of going with a little bit.
Now, there is no doubt that, you know, everybody has a role in a win like that, but who really went above and beyond and helped carry the team to those dubs?
Yeah, I think Roper. I mean, Roper hit, I think, 684 in the match, or something like crazy number like
that. And that's where 250 is kind of like the target.
Like, we want to be at 250, 300, that'd be great. She hit 600. Like, that's like, I mean, again, I watched it on ESPN, and they were like, that's just, those numbers are just insane. And so she had one of her best days I've ever seen her have. So I think she definitely lit the fire there. I think Haley, our setter, you know, we ended up in a 5-1, and she was very offensive. She, I mean, for a setter to have 300 and, you know, 333 hitting percentage, she was becoming offensive on that point. So those two were big pieces. Of course, you know, Jade's doing her thing and digging, and I think that's just when everything is just running right and allowing those offensive players to just shine a little bit more.
Man, that
happened. It was good. It was fun. I mean, I got to see a lot of former players, former coaches that are former players, you know, people that were there for us, and we had a good support cast over there, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
See any hog shirts? Anybody up from Kingsville, know, come see y'all?
No, I didn't. I saw some former players that came in, and like, that was nice to see them also support us, you know, and me in our win there. But we had a good following over there, and it, you know, we played 11:30, so I was, you know,
rest just, was gonna be okay.
Yeah, you know, I'm like, I got a text from Jim the next either that night or the next day, and he said, hey, I guess the 11:30 is pretty good. We'll take it, huh? I was like, yeah, we will.
It worked out all right.
Absolutely. So, got to revisit that and see if I'm on board with that again. But it paid dividends, and it was a great time.
So, did the dub by the women lead to them getting a little bit higher upgraded post game meal?
Yeah.
Sprinkles on top and everything.
Yeah, marble slabs.
Ooh.
Marble slab. That's what the dub got them a little bit, and they loved every minute of it. Absolutely.
I want to be with y'all the next time you go. I love marble slab.
Yeah, no, it was fun. We had dinner afterwards. We went to the hotel, relaxed, and then had dinner at the island on the beach. We got them some burgers from the burger company there. Really cool burgers. I'm sure you're familiar with it.
Yeah.
Right on the island, and
the orange and white striped one.
And after that, we went to Marble Slab, and it was a good victory, so.
Outstanding.
Very deserving stuff for them.
So, all right, yeah. Okay. Well, that's not the end of the season. Yeah. We got a little bit more to go. Like 16 games left in conference play?
No, we have
14 games.
Yeah, so we have, we played already, so minus four. So what is that, 12 games left to play.
Right.
Yeah, because we have 16 total. We've already played. Yeah, so
keep trying to stack them up on you.
Yeah. So we're looking here at the standing. So yeah, we have 12 more games to play. Of course, we play the West twice and the East once. So these next two road trips will be against the East. So we'll see. You know, Thursday we'll see UNO, and then Saturday we'll see SLU Southeastern. And the following week, we'll have Wednesday Nichols at home on our pink out game. And then that Saturday, we go to McNeese. So we'll see the Louisiana side, the east side. So
we'll, and I'm familiar with the volleyball facilities, if they have separate. But at UNO, is it Lakefront Arena, or do they have a smaller venue?
Yeah, they're almost in their education building, I think.
Okay.
So they're in that, so smaller venue.
Okay.
There.
And what about in Hammond against Southeastern?
They're in the arena.
Okay.
They're in the arena, so we'll play in the arena there, you know.
You can bring your mountain climbing gear for that one, don't you?
Absolutely. Well, we'll be home on Wednesday, of course, and then Saturday at McNeese the following week. Of course, they're they're in the arena, but they have their own volleyball facility attached to the arena.
Okay.
Behind it. So we'll be playing in the volleyball facility there. And it's a nice arena, nice facility, legacy. So we're looking forward to it, you know. We're ready to rock and roll. And like, you look at our record right now at 1-3, this could easily change to, you know, 5-3.
Yes.
So, you know, of course, we're taking game by game. Mm-hmm. We're taking everything, not taking it for granted. You know, we saw UNO take a set off of Lamar. So, you know, they're athletic. They've always been athletic. And mm-hmm. we're hoping our ball control will be a little bit precise there, which will help us. And then SLU. SLU has two lefties that are just really good that we got to account for. So we'll be prepared. And that's the biggest thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well. Hey, everybody, welcome. It is time for another edition of Inside Lion Athletics. Charlie Chitwood here along with Athletic Director Jim Curry. Hey, we got one in yesterday, but it wasn't with you. You've been a little bit busy hopping around these
days. Yeah, yeah. Second week of travel to Indy. So I was there for NSA meetings this week. Last week I was there for an academic success summit. So it was kind of back-to-back weeks up in Indy.
Yeah.
At the NSA headquarters, but good work.
Get your coupon stamped for coffee at the airport up there.
Exactly. Yes. It's a nice little airport up there in Indy.
Is it?
It is. Yeah. It is a nice little airport. Get a lot of work done in the little lobby here. It's kind of nice.
That helps.
It's really good. Yeah.
Yeah. You remember when we saw each other in Florida State?
Yeah. That's right. That's right. In the airport. Yeah.
I got to work for a while.
That's
yeah.
That's right.
Hey, we got a lot on tap. Let's just kind of review it, and then we'll get into the thick of it. Of course, big news, Lions win. We got a football dub in Natchitoches on Saturday, 40-10. That just makes everybody feel better.
Yeah, it does. You know, and I'm so happy for those guys, just the work that's been putting in. And then, you know, part of it, too, is, you know, there's been, even though the wins haven't been there until this weekend, you know, you've kind of seen some of the momentum build around some of the things that we're doing. You know, I mean, I think now we're top 25 in the country in passing offense. We're top 20 in time of possession. You know, so there's some things we're doing. Total yards, we're up there, I think, top 30. So, I mean, there's some things we're doing offensively that are really working.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we had a great performance out of the defense this weekend. Held them under 200 yards total offense. So when we play really good complementary football, we're a really tough team to beat. Mm-hmm. I think we saw that same great complementary football those first 28 minutes of the game at Grambling as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when we really kind of play well with one another, minimize mistakes, we're tough to play against. And so hoping to continue to build on the momentum of that. You know, being 1-0 in conference is a really important thing. You can't be 2-0 until you're 1-0.
You're
right?
Starting out at, you know, tied for third.
Yeah, no question.
When with your first win of the year.
Yeah, no question.
That helps everybody's mood.
No question. So it just changes the psyche a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously good timing because we got a really good ball club coming in this weekend. It is a ranked opponent that is coming into Commerce this weekend in Lamar. So we need everybody out there to pack the stands and create a home field advantage for us. But a team that I think we're ready to compete against for sure. There's some opportunity there. They're a really sound football team, of course. They've picked up some good wins, and they've done it just playing really good disciplined football and minimizing mistakes. So, in terms of our ability to compete with them, no question, if we can play the type of game that we've seen us play, you know, it, particularly of late, then, we're going to be in a position to win the game.
I think that, and this is just my opinion, but I think that Lamar and Commerce, the swing of who might be favored, changes a little more drastically than it might have, say, if, you know, it was SFA playing at UIW.
Yeah,
you know, that might be the same, but I think the travel's different on this one.
It is a little different for sure. And, you know, I think these are two teams that have battled one another during their time together in the conference as well, although short-lived. Like, I mean, last year they were here, and, you know, neither one of us – I was talking with their AD about this recently. Neither one of us had on our bingo card – both kickers hitting a 50-yard field goal in the last 2 minutes of the game. I mean, it was that tight of a game last year. So, We went down there a couple years ago as well, and again, in a tight game as well. So, you know, one of those things where, you know, it's we got two tough teams that are playing one another. And I think, you know, but again, if history has serves us well in this one, or is a good indicator of what we're going to get this weekend, it's going to be a tight ball game.
All right. Well, you know, if you'd been here Monday, and for all of your coaches gathering around for Monday weekly cup of coffee, you'd have had a lot of happy coaches, because soccer did so well last week. And volleyball picked up a huge win on the road when they knocked off the Islanders down
there.
Yeah,
it's been a pretty good few days here in the last week or so. You know, 2-0 Thursdays are always a good thing.
Mm.
You know, particularly when volleyball knocks off Corpus for the first time. You know, when you kind of go back in history, I mean, Corpus won the league title last year in volleyball. And then, you know, you look at it, we played them 6 times. Prior to that match on Thursday, we had only won a combined 2 sets against them. That's how dominant they've been in volleyball. We obviously win 3. We win the match in a pretty impressive fashion. Soccer wins later that night, so that's awesome. They pick up a dub. And against a Nichols team that's really improved, too. So credit to them and what they're doing in soccer. So great Thursday, 2-0. We get to the weekend. Obviously, football picks up a big win in a really dominant fashion. Over 500 yards of total offense to their 160-ish, something like that. So pretty dominant performance there. And then, kind of fast forward a little bit. Soccer gets another point on the road. And then we get to Monday, Tuesday. We haven't actually talked about this yet, but men's golf, had a hell of a performance.
Did they?
At Arkansas State. Yeah, last couple days. So, probably one of their better regular season performances to date in the D1 era. So they've got a couple new faces there on top of some really quality returning faces. So men's golf had a great couple days. And then that obviously sets us up for the rest of the week here.
All right, good stuff. All right, for what the rest of the week here, it's Hall of Fame weekend.
Yes.
It's soccer's senior day. Is coming up soon.
Yeah. So believe it. Right. Soccer Senior Day this weekend.
We just started.
You think we just started? It's coming. It's coming fast. It's kind of on the calendar for us in home schedules. It's probably a quieter Saturday in the fall, believe it or not, because we don't have volleyball on Saturday as well. Mm-hmm. So that gave us a window to do Hall of Fame. We have a very impressive Hall of Fame class going in. That event. For all intents and purposes, it's sold out. I mean, we keep getting some names that trickle in that we're trying to accommodate, but we are packed to the gills in that space. So excited about that. Home football, of course. It's also a big admissions weekend, main event weekend. So if there's anybody out there that's listening to this that's got prospective students that want to look at an opportunity to come check out campus and look at the opportunity there. We're going to do that in conjunction with football game this weekend. So Saturday will be a busy day for campus for the events calendar. We mentioned the home game on Saturday, of course, but then a senior day on Sunday for women's soccer. And that'll be our last Sunday home match of the year. We have a few Thursdays left, but we are in the home stretch for soccer. There is no doubt about it. Still unbeaten in soccer. I think we got 1-0-4, right? Which is good for third place, I think, in the league standings right now.
And just like one win off of everybody else.
That's tight.
All you'd need to be there.
It is as tight as it can be at the top with opportunities ahead of us as well. So excited for what's going on with women's soccer, of course. Continue to be in the hunt as we expected them to be. But it's coming to a close. So if you've missed them and you want to get out, Sunday is going to be your last weekend opportunity until we look ahead to postseason.
Don't blink.
Yeah.
Hey, man. So if you blinked last night, you missed the University of Oklahoma softball team.
Yes, here. Yes.
And if you blinked last night, you didn't see the John Cain Family Softball Complex just packed to the gills. And one gill was crimson, and the rest were blue and gold.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
What an event. It's great that they come down. It's the second year in a row they've come down for a fall game. And it has their benefits to the Sooner faithful, but it's great for us.
It's fantastic. So just really grateful that they agreed to that again. I think we showed them a great time last year, and we're great hosts. I'm confident we did that again this year. It just, you know, it sets up nicely. It's an easy trip for them. You know, there are some limitations on travel distance in the fall for the exhibition season. So it sets up well, so long as we are good hosts when they come. And again, I think we really put a great effort into that. I think it was speaks volumes that they came back. You know, they're really good, obviously. There's some things that we saw, I think, last night that, you know, show well for us looking into the spring as well. That was the first fall game. We've got six or seven more on tap. I think actually we have one today, too. So we're in the thick of it now with getting ready for that. But some really, really good new faces out there, including one young lady who competes on the U18 team for Team Mexico, who was at the World Championships, and I think they were a bronze finisher there.
Okay,
at that. So again, some really good faces to go with a lot of really good returning faces, and so excited about softball. It's hard to be crazy to think we're already talking about softball, but we are. We're all go. But again, just grateful for Oklahoma agreeing to come back. Hopefully we can do it again. We'll go back up there and see them. So we have a kind of a good thing going right now there with them.
Hey, that's I understand that our broadcast of the game last night probably drew a few more eyes than perhaps were in the stadium.
Yes, there's no doubt about that. So it might be the only fall softball scrimmage that gets broadcast on ESPN, at least from what we can find.
Right.
Again, streaming fall games in softball is rather atypical to begin with,
but you know, it was OU.
Yeah, but it's OU, and it's an opportunity to showcase our student athletes and our university. So credit to Avi and Aiden Pelfrey for just what they do in terms of putting that out there. It's not something we have to do, but it obviously is a great opportunity. And, you know, when you look at just some of the viewership numbers for last year's games, it was one of the highest viewed games on across any sport in the Southland Conference last year. And we actually think we can, we could maybe almost double that number this year.
How big was that number?
Oh, it was under 30,000.
Wow.
Yeah, watching softball last year. And we think we can maybe almost double it this year. But we did a little bit more promotional ahead of time. Again, exclusive kind of opportunity. So, again, you know, credit to Avi and the team, I mean, for putting it out there and giving us a showcase opportunity.
Those kind of numbers, are they going to get free tickets to Disney World as a little sense of gratitude from
well, it's weird. It's exhibition softball, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to put numbers like that on exhibition softball in the middle of the fall with 1,000 things going on, and, you know, it speaks volumes, again, about their brand, about where we're going, and about the sport as a whole, too. So
that's a great night for it. Absolutely beautiful.
Beautiful night. Oh, geez. Beautiful night. Yeah, no doubt.
Basketball schedules have been released.
Yeah, speaking of things that are on the horizon now, too, right? Basketball schedules.
We're just 3 weeks away from four.
Yeah.
Definitely inside of four.
So 4 weeks away from regular season. But the exhibition season actually starts here in like 2 weeks. I guess that would be almost a little 2.5 weeks. So yeah, it's here. I mean, it is here.
The guys are going to go over to Stephenville and have a look at Wisdom Gym has gone by the wayside, folks.
Yeah.
They got a new house like we're building.
That's exactly right.
We're going to like ours better. Yeah. But, you know, get to be one of the first ones. That was kind of – I thought we were the first ones in, but they said TCU. They needed another purple team.
That's exactly right. Too much purple there.
And so we come in to give them that relief the next time. But, wow, what a deal.
Yes, it is it's cool. It's a great opportunity to get out there and play them, of course, and get started. But it is here, so we've got some. We got a home competition, a home exhibition as well. That'll be free for folks if you want to come check them out. I will tell you if you're curious about basketball, come out and take a look at them because it is a much different team than last year, and I say that in all the good ways. Jarrett's done a great job, and Val has done a great job too. They're much more length and size on the men's side. I would say the athleticism and some of the length as well on the women's side is much improved. And again, that's not to be a knock on anybody that was here last year. That's
sure.
more a testament to the work that's been done.
There was a lot of really crazy, stupid injuries last year.
Oh, particularly on the women's side, for sure.
And yep. You know, the good news is, you know, Lion fans, as much as they're used to things going well, there are aberrations, and they happen.
They happen. That's
right. That's all it was.
You know, it's 22 conference games now.
Oh, that means we got to start earlier.
We got to start earlier. We'll have home games over the break period between Christmas and New Year's. So mm-hmm. if you're looking for something to do, circle those on your calendar because we'll be here. The non-conference slate is really good again. There's good balance in there between some of the marquee names, but then also some of our mid-major peers who are games that I think position us to get us ready for conference, but also position us to be in the game to potentially get a W there. I think we'll give some folks some fits that they're probably not expecting, maybe even in some of the high majors.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, excited again for those guys. Again, they've just done a lot of work in the offseason to improve. We knew we needed to get better.
Mm-hmm.
They knew we needed to get better. I think we're better. And so, you know, it's now it's excited just to kind of see it, roll the balls out there and see what's going on. But the amount of work that's going on in the field house right now by both teams to get ready, it's been a long journey for them, but I think a very focused and intentional one. So I'm excited to see it play itself out here as we get ready to tip, which is, again, less than a month away.
Yeah. Oh, well, I got booked. I got to order one more, but I've got one empty scorebook at home.
Yeah.
Hey, one last thing. We want to talk about your new committee appointment.
Yeah.
Because they didn't waste any time giving you stuff to vote on.
No, we jump right in.
How many other new members to the committee? Were you all, was the whole thing reloaded, or do they do three or four a year?
Yeah, not the whole thing. So, you know, there was a big change in NCAA governance structure to begin with this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So more streamlined approach, fewer committees. A little bit more within the scope or purview of the individual sport oversight committees in particular. So, you know, there were some that were retained from the previous committee. There were some that were new, of course, like myself. We didn't waste any time diving in. I mean, and I think it's just really a reflection of just the very fluid environment that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some things we were talking about this week that maybe we could try to benefit from the normal legislative cycle and not have to push any type of emergency action legislation.
Mm-hmm.
I think given the topics that we were talking about, and again, they're now public. So, you know, the recommendation on the transfer portal window for football.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably the thing that most people even knew would be discussed at some point somewhere, and here it was, and there you are.
And there it is, yeah. You know, I would say that topic of, I think the term that really was used quite a bit is roster certainty.
Mm-hmm.
Was a term that was kind of floated quite a bit, and just some of that analysis. You know, I'll give credit to everybody involved because they are trying to find the balance in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
and try to, you know, work both sides of it. But we get great perspective in those rooms. You know, we have a representative from AFCA in there, Bob Nielsen, who was the head coach at South Dakota.
Okay.
But had won championships in Division III, had won national championships in D2, had one of the best teams in the country at South Dakota. I mean, just a really an impressive coaching resume. So he's got incredible insight in there. And then we have student athlete voices as well.
Yeah.
So it's a really good group. You get to hear some different perspectives from the league perspective as well.
Mm-hmm.
The
league being the
individual,
NCAA.
The individual
or
conference.
The FCSs.
Yeah. All
or
the FCS leagues, yeah.
Okay.
Because you've got a representative from each league in there. So it's good. I mean, the agenda moves fast. There's no doubt about it. And I think it's just reflective of the environment that we're in.
When you say roster certainty, mm-hmm. define that a little bit more. Is that for, you know, we've got a roster limit now, and the roster certainty is defined by the different reasons and the period of time in which a student athlete can decide to leave where he or she is now?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a reflection of, and again, this isn't, this is not unique to football. I would say that this is every fall sport.
Yeah.
Even though the academic year runs, August to May, for all intents and purposes, most mm-hmm. institutions, right? When you're looking at your fall sports, your year really starts in January or late December, basically. But it's a calendar year because your competition season and your postseason, generally speaking, ends in December, unless you're in the the championship game for FCS. So, but volleyball, soccer, I mean, that's really what it looks like. So when you start to, plan everything to include roster construction, you're thinking about it really at the start of the calendar year and not, with the academic
year.
And so I think that there's this idea, I think, maybe a different approach 7-10 years ago than it was, and where you really did think about it in like an academic year. But again, just the evolution of things has really kind of shifted it. And so honestly, even for us from an equipment ordering perspective and a budgeting perspective, like, we have to float between different years, whether it's a budget year or a fiscal year or an academic year, to make it fit in a specific kind of sport operating year.
Mm-hmm.
And then understand that it's also different by sport as well, of course.
Right.
So, it's probably a more pronounced dynamic for the fall sports.
Mm-hmm.
So, because again, they're now thinking when you get to December, January, that now you're thinking about, your competition season at the end of that year. The last season is kind of done, even though the academic year is still going on.
Yeah.
And I remember explaining this to some of the bowl reps, when you started to see players starting to opt out of bowl games in the FBS, and I remember we were meeting with our bowl reps, and again, you had an opportunity to kind of get to know those guys pretty well, just being in when you're, at that level.
Mm-hmm.
But they would talk to me about, this whole opt-out thing. I'm like, I said, you got to understand the dynamics of the, the bowl games now, my view, unless you're in the playoff,
right?
They really become your first opportunity to evaluate for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
them are done by midnight on the 31st.
That's right. As much as they are about the year that just concluded and a kind of a final bow on that, there is much about what's going to happen next year as much as they are for the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, that was an evolution in the space. I think we have now gotten to the point where people understand that. But contemporaneously, at the time when that conversation was happening, it was just an acknowledgement that that's the case. And so, so I think, to get back to your question, the amount of, when you look at it being in an academic year, any type of variable into that throughout that year can be problematic, of course. So I think that's where you've just got to, you're trying to figure out and you're trying to plan and you're trying to think through this. And again, I think the student athlete perspective is always really important in this, not just from the standpoint of what type of opportunities exist for an individual student athlete, but then how do those actions impact the other people that are currently still on the roster as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's easy to forget about the 104 guys over here when you're thinking about it through the lens of the one who's trying to make a decision. And so trying to think through holistically these, all these different, machinations and how they impact one another is really kind of part of the exercise as well.
From your perspective, first, as just an administrator, because the portal has been in existence, 7-8 years now?
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay,
yeah.
And it came out and it looked like this, and then every year it would change, and one year it looked like this instead of this. So, I mean, it's had a lot of iterations, and something that frees the students needed more work. Do you think that what y'all have created now answers all the problems that they had before, or is it going to get massaged a little bit more and changed up again? I mean, how often do you think while they work for perfection?
Yeah, again, and I think there's an acknowledgement, and again, whether it's the work we do or work across the country,
mm-hmm.
At schools, at different committees, what conferences, what have you, is that everything is constantly evolving, and you have to be adaptable. I mean, that's the one thing right now in college athletics. If you are not adaptable, then you cannot survive in it.
Right.
I mean, it's just the reality. Or you're gonna slog through it, is maybe a better way to put it. You just have to be willing to adjust. And sometimes that can be hard. And, you know, if you're in a heavily, like, regulated, prescribed environment, that's hard to do at times. So I think those that can be nimble and flexible, not just within the department, but within their conferences, within their university structure, mm-hmm. within everything, those that can be adaptable, nimble, and flexible and make things happen quickly will have a comparative advantage.
Has there been, and you've been in college athletics administration, what, 20 years?
20 years.
Plus or minus? Has there been any other thing that has impacted sport quite like the portal has? I mean, I can't think of anything, but
you know, I don't know if it's the portal per se. It's, I think, the confluence of things at the same time, inclusive of the portal.
Okay.
So, you know, it's portal on top of NIL, on top of settlement, on top of, evolving landscape in context of litigation,
mm-hmm.
On top of, maybe changing societal viewpoints. I mean, it's all of these things that kind of come together and to create that. So we talked a little bit about that just from the standpoint of the, like, 4-game redshirt rule in football,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like, yeah, when that was adopted, it was really pushed heavily from coaches as a developmental opportunity for younger players.
Yeah.
It is still that. There's no doubt about it. But the unintended consequences or the impacts of that rule vis-a-vis everything else that has changed in the environment,
mm-hmm.
that now impacts that, you know, changes the analysis maybe of that rationale from years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't necessarily mean that it's wrong or that it's going away or that it doesn't still fit or what have you, but the analysis and the rationale for doing it then is a lot different now than it was at the time. And so it's just, again, that kind of constant acknowledgement that, like, things change and evolve. You got to stay adaptable. And those that can be responsive to a fluid environment are probably going to be in a better position support student athletes and compete at the highest level.
Wow. That's where we like being.
That's why I like to say I got the right haircut for the job.
That's it, man. Nothing to pull, baby. Nothing to pull. Hey, we've gone nearly half an hour. So set a record here today.
We had
a lot to catch up on.
There's a lot going on right now, and we're kind of getting into that overlap season and a lot of things to talk about, but we never run short on things to chat about.
No, we don't. Let's line up. We're going to talk about some more. We'll get some coaches in here in a little bit. Stick around for more of Inside Lion Athletics. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Some more of Inside Lion Athletics. We go from Jim Curry. Let's get down into football. Lions win. Coach, I know your guys have been wanting that for a long time, and your guys have been working hard to help get that team over the hump. Congratulations. 40-10 over Northwestern State in Natchitoches, and the wheels on that bus never touched the ground on the way back.
No, it was good, and we definitely needed that from the 105th player to the GA on our team, down top to bottom. We needed a win, and morale just was, we were tired of it. We've been playing some decent football and just it hasn't shown on the scoreboard as far as getting the win. And, kids put it together and played really well the other night.
Ron Peace out there, a little bit rusty, probably rustier early against Northwestern than he was the week before.
It's true.
But came out, had a good game, threw for some big yardage. You said before the game, though, that the Lions were going to just run it at them.
We're going to try.
And you ran it pretty well.
We
EJ
did.
Oakman and KJ Shankle both.
Yeah. 261 yards. Obviously there was a few more yards than that, but we had a few sacks in there that we took that
four again, rushing touchdowns, wasn't that?
I believe that's right. Yeah. EJ had three of them. KJ had one of them. So, yeah, offensive line and those two running backs. And, you know, I think we had, I don't know, six running backs touch the ball. You know, obviously when you're up, you can do that. And we had a lot of different things go well for us. You know, we rushed the ball obviously well, which caused us not to have to throw as much. It sometimes can be hard to get in a rhythm as a quarterback when you're only throwing, you know, 15 to 20 times. And early on, he struggled a little bit with just getting his timing and rhythm going. But, you know, came out in the second half in three straight drives, scoring touchdowns. So that's where it's at.
That worked out just fine. And E-Rod came in the end, got a little time to keep him fresh. And, I mean, Ron's health, you're not having to handle him with kid gloves.
No.
But you still want to keep an eye on that ankle.
Always, you know. When you got it handled and that's your starter and you missed him for, you know, basically 6 weeks early in the season, you just want to make sure, you know, it's a long season and we're just starting into the, you know, into the conference and getting to 1-0 and wants to make sure he's healthy going into it. And, you know, E-Rod does a great job. He's a general on the field. He's going to command it. We didn't have to really throw with him. We were up and we ran the ball, force-fed him the football, and some other guys got some touches.
Hey, Hyman Drinkard, the running back from East Texas Baptist University. Yep. I was in his locker room, or his old locker room yesterday. Should have seen if he forgot anything.
He
did well. And
he did.
Kick returning, too. Wasn't he back there?
Yep. I'm you know, I was surprised. I didn't know he got 10 touches in the game. And I guess it was right at the end there. We had two or three drives where we were just making sure and, you know, not throwing the ball, trying to run it up, things like that. And, you know, I was proud when they know you're going to run the football and they can't stop it and it's with your second group, you know you got something good going in your offensive line.
That, and the offensive line is what made Oakman and Schenkel and all the rest have a really good day. Talk about those guys, how the rotation did, and they had to feel good afterwards as well.
Yeah, we got healthy, honestly. You know, we were missing nine starters from the week before who didn't play against North Carolina Central. They were all back except one. So we had five returners back, starters coming back, which helped. But it's that experience that we had the week before. You know, we rotated the line, kept them fresh, and I think it's a good formula to have, having those linemen fresh towards the end of the game.
They have to enjoy it when they start pushing and – they start going that way.
Oh yeah, the big hogs love running downhill, and that's what we were doing all night. And we stayed ahead of the chains all night too. You know, even when we were in third downs, we were manageable situations. You know, the biggest thing I was disappointed in penalties. We had 12 of them. We've got to cut those out. Some are just self inflicted. I call, you know, detrimental ones where they lose their mind a little bit and have something that'll hurt us. And
yes,
you know, it got away with some of those late in the game, which, you know, we try to harp on. It doesn't matter what part of the game is where we're going to play it the right way and do it the right way. And you know, we made an example of those guys.
All right, Oslo Rigby, he's been pretty consistent kicking. Meehan has had some good boots from punting. I gotta get them the ball in a good way, though.
Right. Yeah, we struggled a little bit with punts, our snaps in the punt game the last few weeks. But you're right, Rigsby's done a great job in kicking. I feel confident, you know, 55 and in. And I probably should have let him try the one right at the end there that was in the 50s and see what his, you know, leg strength. I know he's got a great leg. And I think he could have made it, but wanted to see if we'd get a first down throwing it there. And unfortunately, we weren't able to.
Well, that longer one that he did kick in the game, it had plenty of leg.
Yeah, he's got a cannon.
That was fun to watch. Okay, let's get on with Lamar. You're sitting right now in a tie for third place. That's the benefit of starting out 1-0 in conference play. Now you go against a Lamar team that has got a few eyebrows lifted in the way they've been playing.
Yep.
It's certainly one of the leaders in the league right now, but the Cardinals, what are they this year?
They're Cardinals of old. I mean, they're 4-1. They beat a good South Dakota who's always in the top, you know, 25. Beat them early in the season. You know, they got a great offensive line. As usual, big nasties. They try to force feed you the run. So it's going to be a matter of possessions. You know, we're not going to have probably anywhere, I wouldn't say 11, 12 possessions. It's going to be one of those where we got to score our opportunities when we get a chance and, you know, get some stops when we can. So they're a really good football team, as usual, and well coached.
Okay. Jack Tyler's defense, those guys, I know they felt better after giving up only 10. What do they see ahead of them? What do you think they can do against Lamar?
You know, a lot of confidence after last week. We fit well. That was a big factor. You know, in some of the big plays that we've been giving up before that, we just weren't fitting right defensively. And, you know, you got to have your gap and you got to trust your brother to get in their gap. And sometimes when it doesn't happen, some huge holes happen up in there and some big plays happen. So I was proud of those guys. Coach Tyler had them going all week, knowing that if we, you know, we felt like we could score some points, if we could hold them in the teens and the 20s, we felt like we'd win pretty handily.
Well, they did, and we all did.
Yep, that late score was, you know, with our second group out there, so hats off to them, and we're worried about, you know, down the road, not necessarily just stats.
All right, you're going to get to see Memorial Stadium a little bit more the second half of the season.
Nice.
That's got to be a good feeling.
It is. It's good to come home. You know, just all the hustle and bustle of traveling and all that, it's nice to get on a roll, and, you know, the guys are excited about the opportunity. They moved into the top 25 this week in rankings, so we feel like, you know, on film that we match up well with them. We just got to go get the job done and win against a good football team.
Which games have you watched of theirs that you feel like you got the most from?
probably, I don't know, Central Arkansas is probably one of the better ones. They ran the ball well against them.
Mm-hmm.
As we talked off there, none of those teams that they played really can throw the ball around the yard like we can. So we haven't seen a lot of that. We took bits and pieces from all those games and what plays were successful against them and kind of fit them into where we fit our offense. You know, I think we're a well-balanced team that can put some points on the board if we, you know, just do our jobs.
All right. Well, it won't be a bear trap, but maybe a birdcage. Cardinals coming up from Lamar down in Beaumont. We got a 6 o'clock kickoff. Coach, weather's supposed to be just kind of like what we've been having. It's been great weather.
Nothing better than October and November football.
That's right. In your own backyard.
That's right.
Folks, that's going to do it here. Line up. Hey, be sure to be here. There's a lot going on. You'll have to get with athletics to find out about the Hall of Fame celebration, banquet, meeting, gathering.
Bunch of recruits on the campus as well.
Oh,
this weekend.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Student athletes and just plain old students.
That's right.
It's going to be busy. We'll see you there. Hey, folks, back with more of Inside Lion Athletics. I'm Charlie Chitwood. We have Ashley Gordon, soccer skipper, in-house. And, Coach, y'all just keep not losing.
Keep not losing.
Y'all are doing well here.
Well, we need some additional points besides 1 point. So,
sure.
No, this past weekend, I mean, it was good. We over the course of 4 days, I mean, we ended up getting 4 points playing Nichols and beat them 2-0. And you know, we were really in control of the game. You know, but at half, it's 0-0, and anything can happen. So at halftime, you know, some of the main comments really from our standpoint is you got to be able to put one in, and one's going to come, and a domino will be able to fall, and that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But even if, you know, we led in shot count pretty drastically, and certainly corners, we had 9 corners to their 1, but, you know, late in the, must have been in the 70th minute, we had a ball that was a corner that Maya Mitchell served in, accurate, and Chris, you know, put a head on it and ended up scoring. And then the second goal, and then the domino did fall. And then Hannah Bell was streaking down the left side, beat a player 1v1, got in line, whipped a ball across the box. And my California player, May, made a near post run and had a great goal. So
nice.
we were super happy, certainly, with the win and well deserving, because I mean I thought that we played really well, and you know, just I think as we continue to play each game, we're getting shots on goal.
Mm-hmm.
We need to continue to work on our accuracy, making goalkeepers have to make saves, and you know, and then when we went into Corpus, started the game, the environment I felt like was going to be a factor, started the game, It was raining, and, you know, as I've mentioned
before.
That's
not what you plan when you go to the island.
No, no, but it was raining, and of course, we were playing on turf, which you know how I feel about turf.
Indeed.
And so it was pretty slick surface, so I worried just about the conditions from that standpoint, and, you know, start off the first half, went down a goal, I think a preventable goal, but went into the second half, and really I thought we played well in the second half. It was difficult conditions, you know, in a team to play against because they're a really direct team. And so, you know, heading and clearing and dealing with just bombardment with any sort of set piece, you know, we had to deal with. But we, you know, talked about at halftime that our corners and our services and our set pieces really needed to be you know, better and more accurate, and we had just that. Trinity Edgerton, we had a direct free kick really from second distance, and Trinity put the ball on at the back of the six, and Chris Schultz, you know, a name that I keep mentioning, you know, came up and won a header, and it was a pure class goal. So, you know, got out of there with a tie. Points on the road are always hard.
Yes.
So with travel and wet and turf and playing a direct team, you know, I'm not complaining about a point on the road by any means. So came away for the weekend without any new injuries, and got 4 points. So
yeah.
Just getting ready for this week.
So are you getting any of the old injuries back that can help you down the stretch?
Yeah,
because we're in it.
Yeah, no, we're in it here on the back stretch. You know, I think here in about another week we'll be able to get some, you know, additional, you know, players back. So that's good. But, you know, speaking about this past weekend, as I mentioned, I thought Chris was fantastic and certainly, you know, putting her head on the ball and scoring goals. She was great. I thought Trinity Edgerton had a really good week. She, due to injuries, you know, she's had to move into the center back role, and she's been steady Eddie. So anyway, I've been really pleased with that. So, you know, as I mentioned, we're going into this weekend. We've got SFA and we've got Northwestern State.
Yeah, and those are, you know, it's just two schools in the conference. They just happen to be the leaders in the conference right now, and they have.
We talk about leaders, though, Charlie.
We got a few.
We got a few. I mean, really, it's a separation of 2 points, you know, in first place. So we've got five of us that are battling, and we're either 1 point or 2 points out. So every game, you know, matters. And with a win this weekend, certainly you can go from fifth to first.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
Well, and you start thinking about, are you even looking at, you know, who do we want to match up with in the Southland tournament?
No,
do you even think about that?
No, you'll
am I in trouble for mentioning?
Yeah, you'll jinx us. No, I don't even worry about that. I mean, first of all, you got to make the tournament,
right?
And right now, no one has secured a spot. So, back on the back stretch, you know, again, we've got to get some points on the road, which obviously we play at SFA, and then we come home to play Northwestern State on our, you know, on our grass. So, you know, we've had a good week of training and just, you know, managing reps and minutes just because of, you know, short rosters and you know, we get prepared to play. Us and SFA are the two teams in the league right now that do not have a loss. So, you know, as long as we continue getting points, we'll be in a good spot.
There can be only one.
Yes.
That's right.
Only one.
There can be only one. These are exciting games when there's so much on the line.
It is, and especially going into, you know, SFA last year, you know, had an opportunity to be able to play twice. We beat them in the regular season at home. And then, you know, in the conference tournament, lost in the last 10 minutes of the game, you know, on a corner. And so both games, it was battle, you know, it was a battle. They have a new coaching staff. You know, they do have a number of returners that we have played against. So no surprises there. Of course, you know, we've watched film and we're prepared and we know what to expect.
How similar in style are the two clubs?
When
we play SFA, them with us, and then with Northwestern
team,
with us.
I think all three of us are gritty teams. There's no doubt. You know, I think with SFA and, you know, with our team, you're going to see a lot of forward. You're going to see a lot of forward action, really, in Northwestern State. You know, they've got a new player that's playing up top. It's a girl out of Canada that we've got to be, you know, aware of. And one of their top leading goal scorers is a player that plays in the midfield, who we're familiar with. But all these players, you know, there are no surprises. We know what to expect. We've got to come out. We've got to win first and second balls. And we always talk about that before the game. We always talk about that at halftime. And, you know, from a statistic standpoint, where do we fall? And right now, you know, with all these halves going into, you know, when we look at it, it's the first 45 and then it's the second 45.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and at the end of the day, you got to have concentration for 90 minutes. But, you know, if we're going into halftime and we're leading in the category of first and second balls, well, it's a good game.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think from a style standpoint, SFA pretty direct. They want to play it out into the channels. We've got to be good defending in the channels. We've got to be good 1v1. In wide positions, and then you know, of course, from our standpoint. You know, we got to get in behind their back line, which I totally think that we're dangerous and capable of. But at the end of the day, you know, our shots have to be on goal. We need to make their goalkeeper make saves and put the ball in the back of the net.
Okay. Well, that sums it up pretty easy. Hey, Sunday, the match against Northwestern State, that's going to be kind of a big one for your seniors, is it not?
Yes.
How's it senior day already?
I know. It's pretty amazing. But we've got great, great seniors in leadership within that group. And some of these, you know, seniors I've known since they were 13.
Since you recruited them?
13,
wow.
Well,
even before.
13 to 14, whether, you know, I coached them, you know, as youth players. Some of them I've coached against, so I've watched them play since they were 13 or 14. I mean, I think just kind of thinking about it, the twins actually played against my daughter as early as 7th or 8th grade. Renata Vargas, of course, you know, I've coached against her as a youth player prior to her coming and playing here. Jillian McKenzie played on Sting 04, which, you know, competed against my husband's team. Actually, Jill was always in goal while, you know, competing against Ashley Composano and competing against Trini Edgerton and mm-hmm. Mia Chacon. I've coached against Ashley Composano for years prior to her arrival here. And then, of course, Nia and Trinity both were players that I've known since they were 13 and have coached them. So, we're really excited to have our seniors. It's a special day. And, it's going to be exciting. And
they're part of a class.
Well, and then I'll also mention Peyton, of course, you know, this is only her first year here, but celebrating, it's her fifth year as mm-hmm. far as for eligibility. And I'm so happy she's here and part of our back line. And I'm happy to you know, coach her as well.
That's
so
great
it's an
stuff.
Exciting time for all of the women.
And this senior class, particularly the ones that have been with you a few years, I mean, they've made history.
They have made history, and you know, they've been a part of the program obviously from the inception of Division One and through, you know, this era.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of firsts, and so I'm excited. I think it's a special group.
All right, senior day on Sunday after the SF. Okay, first off, Thursday, that's tomorrow night, mm-hmm. at SFA. That is a 6 o'clock kick.
Stephen F., we kick off at 7, and
7
then,
o'clock.
And then Sunday we kick off at 1.
Got it. Okay. So, everybody, come on out, especially yep. Sunday afternoon. Big games. If you can get down to Nacogdoches on Thursday, be there. And if you can't, be here on Sunday if you can. Go Lions.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Coach. Always
Thank
a
you.
Pleasure, and good luck Thursday night.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Folks, we'll see you after this.